I wish more people would have the attitude of saying, I would see Jesus. We know that, obviously, physically, we cannot see Jesus. Jesus did live, right? He was a real person, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Not just a historical figure, but He lived. And He died and was resurrected and ascended to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father where He reigns today. Acts 2, verses 36 and 37 bear that out. The Bible teaches us that He will reign until all enemies have been destroyed. The last enemy shall be destroyed is dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 26. And so although we can't physically see Jesus, we can read the Scriptures and through the eye of faith be able to see the Son of God. I want us to think about some thoughts that the Bible talks about, some points that the Bible mentions concerning Jesus. You know, not everyone, even today, does not see Jesus when they think about Jesus, when they hear about Jesus. When they open up the pages of the Bible, they don't see the Jesus that you and I see, do they? They see someone who is just a figment of someone's imagination. Someone who is exaggerated on the pages of the Bible. You know, even in the first century, when individuals saw the works that Jesus did and they heard the things that were stated concerning Jesus, didn't see Jesus as they should have. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Don't you wish more people would say to you and would say to me, I want to know the Jesus of the Bible. A sermon like that will lather. It'll preach. It'll prick the hearts of good and honest minds of individuals. So I want us to think about that. Who did some of the people see in the first century when they saw Jesus or when they heard of Him? I want to suggest to you that some saw a sinner. Can you imagine that some accused Jesus, a man who never did wrong, as being a sinner? You see, Hebrews chapter 4 teaches us that we have a high priest which is one that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin. The last few verses of Hebrews chapter 4 bears that. Never did any wrong. Spotless. Sinless. Perfect. And yet people in the first century, when they saw Jesus, they accused Him of being a sinner. I take you to John chapter 9. When the context of John chapter 9 is that Jesus gave this sight to a man that was born blind. Remember that? He was called into question. His parents was called into question. They wouldn't confess Jesus because the Jews had threatened that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, that He'd be put out of the synagogue. And so they wouldn't confess Him. In John 9 and in verse 24, they said, give God the glory to the man who received His sight. As for this man, they said, we know that he is a sinner. This man said, whether he was a sinner or not, I don't know. But this I know, that I was born blind and now I see. Could you imagine, again, that someone would accuse Jesus of being a sinner? They didn't believe in Him. Well, others, when they saw Jesus, saw a false king. Remember when He was crucified? And the Bible records in John 19 that Pilate wrote that inscription, King of the Jews. What did the Jews go to Pilate and say? Oh, don't say King of the Jews. Don't write that. But write that He said He was King of the Jews. To a lot of people, He was a false king. He didn't come to be a physical king, a physical kingdom on the earth. But He's the King over His kingdom of which He reigns, the church. Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 talks about Him being the head of the church. In John 18:30, He was accused of being a malefactor. We wouldn't have presented Him to you, the religious leader said, if He were not a malefactor. The King James Version renders it. The New King James Version says an evildoer. Strong defines that word malefactor or evildoer as someone who is a bad doer. That's what they accused Him of. And so they didn't see Jesus as someone who was going about to do good, but someone who was going about to do evil. So they accused Him. In John 10 and in verse 20, they accused Him as a man who had a devil. And then in Matthew 26:65, though they summon false witnesses against the Savior, their testimony did not agree. They said, this man is speaking as blasphemed. We've heard him say with our own ears to tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll rear it back up. Remember that? What further need have we? This man has spoken blasphemy. It's what they accused him as. And so I point those things out to you to tell you that when individuals, even upon the evidence that's set forth in the Bible, they don't see the Jesus that you and I see. They see him as all of these other things. Again, we can't see Jesus physically. But John declared in John 20:30-31, of which you are vastly familiar with, that these things are written that you might believe. Right? Truly did Jesus many other things in the presence of His disciples which are not written in this book, but these things are written that we might believe. And so I want to ask you tonight, when you see Jesus through the eye of faith, who do you see? The first one I want to ask you to come with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and in verse 15. Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses, the great deliverer of God's people in the Old Testament, said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. When you see Jesus, do you see the great prophet that was prophesied of in the Old Testament, of which Moses wrote about here? If I don't, we've missed the mark because it's pointed out in Acts chapter 3 that Jesus fulfilled that. Peter declared in no uncertain terms in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26, that Jesus fulfilled that. He quotes that passage. If you go over to that passage, notice what he stated and how he closed that chapter. In verse 26, he says, unto you first God, having raised up His Son, who? Jesus, sent Him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from His iniquities. He just had talked to them about that Deuteronomy passage. That God would raise up among them a prophet. And it was stated in verse 23, it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among his people. You know, the people stated, many of them did, as recorded in Luke 7 and in verse 16, that a great prophet had arisen in Israel. They had every right to claim that because he was. Hence in Matthew 17:5, when they were present, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, would hear that voice, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know the next three words, right? Hear ye Him. I wonder why he didn't say, hear Moses. Hear Elijah. Hear ye Him. The great prophet, Hebrews 1:1-2. Another passage that you might want to look at. I wonder, when we see Jesus, do we see the chief shepherd? In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter, who identifies himself as an elder, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, was exhorting them to feed the flock, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. Now watch verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I've underscored in my Bible, chief shepherd. When we see Jesus, do we see Him as the shepherd? Now Jesus identified Himself as being the good shepherd in John chapter 10 and in verse 14. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 25, He says, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Matthew 25 and in verse 32. Another passage that you might want to write down and look at. You know what's pictured in Matthew 25, the great judgment day? When the Lord will return and make that separation as verse 32. Before Him will be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another. What's this figure? As a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. When you see Jesus, do you see Him as the chief shepherd? He's one day coming again. I've mentioned that to you. I don't know how many sermons, and we'll keep doing that. Others have preached that and taught that as the Bible makes mention of it. But also when you see Jesus through the eye of faith, do you see the Lamb of God? Remember John chapter 1 verse 29 when John saw Jesus walking and coming unto him and said, "Behold, behold what? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." If we know nothing about the Old Testament, then we'll be hindered from understanding what John was talking about, because the figure of a lamb is steeped in Jewish history. The Jews would have well understood what a lamb represented, because a lamb was connected with the Passover in Exodus chapter 20. Remember that? The night they were going to be delivered from Exodus, and the tenth and final plague. What did he say? Slay a lamb without blemish. Take of its blood and do what? Strike it over the lintel and over the posts of the door. It was connected with a Passover. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Remember that? The New Testament identifies Jesus as our Passover. The Lamb was associated with redemption in Exodus chapter 13. It was associated with atonement in Leviticus chapter 5. Through Jesus' blood, we can have the atonement of our sins, right? The forgiveness of our sins. A lot of passages point that out for us. Revelation 5. There was a book that was seen in the hand of Him who sat on the throne, and no one was worthy to take that book and to make its contents known. John wept because of that. But he was told, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and He can make it known." John said, pen that he saw in the midst, a lamb as though it had been slain. That wasn't literal. Jesus is not a literal lamb, but He was the Lamb of God. Acts 8, 32 through 35, when you read about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading from Isaiah 53 in our Bibles, it would be numbered. The place of the Scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." He had no idea who he was reading about. Right? And he asked Philip, who was the prophet talking about, of himself or of some other man? And he began at the same place and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the words of Isaiah 53. So when you see Jesus, do you see Him as the spotless Lamb of God? We ought to. We must, if we're going to come to the Lord, if we're going to obey the gospel and go to heaven when life is over. I want you to think about another one. When you see Jesus through the eye of faith, do you see the great miracle worker that He was? The age of miracles is gone. You realize that, right? We can't work miracles today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about that. Jesus was prophesied, the coming Savior, or a better way to put it, was prophesied to be able to work miracles. Isaiah 35 verses 4 through 6 talks about that. restoring of the blind, the lame being able to walk, and so forth. Jesus fulfilled that. In Matthew 11, the first six verses. Turn to that passage with me and notice what the Bible says. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples and said unto them, Art thou He that should come, or do we look for another? Well, that's a good question. Nothing wrong with asking that question. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Do you see Jesus as a great miracle worker that he was? A fulfillment again of those Old Testament prophecies. I think about Acts chapter 2 and in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you with many miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then he preached to them about Jesus. It's amazing to me that in spite of all of those miracles that the people did, they still rejected Jesus. Someone says, well, I want to have done better. Be careful. I'm sure there are probably a lot of those in the Bible times who would have said, we'll never reject the Messiah when he comes, and yet they did. Peter sends out my mind. Lord, I will go with thee even unto death. John 6. Begin with verse 66. From that time many of the disciples turned and walked no more with him. Jesus turned to the 12 and said, Will ye also go away? Remember what Peter said? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we are sure, notice this confession, it's not the first time that Peter confessed it. We are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet he ended up denying the Lord. Think of that. When you see Jesus, do you see him as an individual who is able to perform all of those things? Of which is recorded in the Bible so that we can have faith? John would pen in the last chapter of the book of John that he did those things, and if all the things that he did was pinned down, that he said, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that should be written, John 21 and then verse 25. And yet there are people who rejected him. So when you see Jesus through thy faith, who do you see? I wonder if when we see Jesus through thy faith, if we see the master teacher. I begin with myself when I make this point. More preachers today need to sit at the feet of the master teacher today and listen to his sermons. Listen to how he dealt with people. Listen to what he taught. Listen to what he said. I begin with me. Maybe you can begin with you. I don't know. Jesus was a master teacher in Matthew 4 and in verse 17. Then Jesus began to preach and to teach. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. Here it was at the conclusion of the great Sermon on the Mount. The people were amazed at Jesus' teaching. I wonder why they were amazed. Well, listen to what the Bible says. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was something different about this man. There was something different about the way that this man taught the people and what he said. Remember all those statements? You have heard it have been said. But I say unto you all, who gave you the authority? Can you just imagine some of those religious leaders saying that, nodding their head, shaking their head? Now you say, well, by whose authority? They even questioned him, his authority on one occasion. Remember that? By whose authority are you doing these things? And then he was, again, so tactful in his handling of individuals. I'll ask you one question. If you tell me, I'll tell you by whose authority. The baptism of John, right? By whose authority? Was it of heaven or of men? We need to take notice of how Jesus dealt with people. And yes, he always taught the truth. But yes, he dealt with people differently. Doesn't mean that he changed or compromised. But he used some pretty strong language in Matthew 23 when he was talking to the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, who should have known better. And he called them out at least six times in that chapter. And said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." But yet to a woman who was taken in adultery, what did he say? "Woman, where are thine accusers? Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Then that doesn't mean that she wasn't guilty. It doesn't mean that he was saying it was okay if she had done wrong. Do we see Jesus as the master teacher? When you see Jesus by thy faith, I wonder if we see him as the light of the world. Folks, there's so many other things you could add to this list, by the way. I think about Acts chapter 8, and I've preached that lesson before. Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What that entails when you preach Christ among them. People need to see Jesus as all of these things. The Bible points these things out. Do we see him as the light of the world? Is that literal or figurative? Which one? Is it literal, sake or not? It's figurative, right? He was a person like we are. Was he divine? Absolutely. Was he human? Absolutely. Was he 50-50? No. He was 100-100. He didn't shed his deity when he left the glories of heaven. We need to know that. But yet he was human. And he suffered in all points like as we are. Yet without sin. Do we see him as the light of the world? John chapter 1 says that he was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life, now watch this, the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or overtook it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth some people. Is that what your book says? If that's how your version renders that, then I suggest to you to toss it in the garbage can as you leave the building this evening. The Bible doesn't say that. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." He was the light of the world. It's not that his physical being lit the world. But it's his message. It's who he was. It's where he came from. It's what he accomplished. It's what he shared with others. In Matthew 4, verses 12 through 17. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Now watch this in verse 16. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light." I ask you today, can people still see that light when they see Jesus? Through thy faith? We're not talking about physically. Here, was by His message. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. In Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105, through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do we see Jesus as the light of the world? Do we listen to Him through His teaching? Do we sit down and open up the Bible and let God speak to us today through His Word? If we don't, folks, we'll walk in darkness. And we'll never make it to heaven if we walk in darkness. But also, when we see Jesus, do we see Jesus as God? I've got my notes I made, you know, as the second person of the Godhead. But I ask you that question. Do you see Jesus as God? How would you respond to that? He's not the Father. He's not the Holy Spirit. But He's divine. He's deity. That's what the word God means. And the Bible declares that Jesus shares in the Godhead. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. Remember that? If we've got at least three digits or some means to get to three objects, we surely will see the point if we can count that far, and I believe every one of you can. There are three that bear record in heaven. We've talked about that before. We've made some points from that passage before. Relative to what John is stating, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Someone says, well, He says that they're one, so they must be the same person. Well, no, He didn't say anything about being the same person. That's a conclusion that someone just inserts there, of which is not necessary because the text doesn't say it. Those examples that so oftentimes are pointed out to us in the Bible where more than one can be considered one, like Genesis chapter 2, begin with verse 18. It's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a help that is meet, suitable, or appropriate for him. Through divine anesthetic, God placed Adam in a deep sleep, performed the first operation that we read about, took of his rib and made Eve. Brought her to the man, and he said, "This she shall be called woman, because she was taken from man. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they too shall be one." The Bible says, when I married my wife, that though we are two, we are one. Is that right? That's what it says. Still hold true today? Absolutely. It was true in the first century. It's true at the beginning. In fact, in Matthew 19, when they questioned about it, when they questioned if it was lawful to put away, for a man to put away his wife for every cause, Jesus said, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning took them all the way back before the law of Moses, before the promises of Abraham, to the beginning. That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and these two shall be one flesh." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Corinthians were divided, began to call themselves after men. And Paul had to set the record straight. He said, though one water, or plant, though one water, these two are one. Not the same person. God gives the increase. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible refers to Jesus as God in Acts 20 and in verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased," watching, "with his own blood." The Father didn't take upon himself the serpent, seed of a woman, and shed his blood. Jesus did. By the way, the Father is referred to as God. Obviously, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a host of other places. The Holy Spirit is in Acts chapter 5. When you see Jesus, do you see Him as being divine? When you see Jesus, do you see Him as the Savior? We touched on that in John chapter 1, verse 21. Now, I tell you that Jesus is still able and ready to save today. His blood still accomplishes this very evening what it accomplished so long ago. Shed His blood for the remission of sins. Matthew 26, 28 beginning. Tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2, 9. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9. And then verse 22. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Matthew 1, 21. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. That's what the word Jesus means. God saves. It's the New Testament equivalent of the word Joshua from the Old Testament. He still saves. Still does that. Christ our Savior. Paul would write to Titus in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 4. Salvation which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10. It's still in Christ Jesus where all spiritual blessings are. Ephesians 1 verse 3. How do we get into Christ? We're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. But also, when you see Jesus, do you see Him as judge? Sometimes individuals say, on the great judgment day, we're going to stand before the Father. The Bible doesn't say we'll stand before the Father. It's the Father's judgment carried out through the instrumentality of His Son. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that? 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess unto God. 1 Corinthians. Jesus would say in John chapter 5, verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give account of the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the standard that is going to be used, is it my opinion, your opinion? Religiously speaking, my thoughts and opinion amount to very little, nothing at all. Really nothing at all. Religiously speaking. It's what God's book says. John recorded in Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, that he saw the dead, small and great, stand before the throne. They were all judged out of the things written in the books. In Romans 2, verse 16, Paul said, in the day, talk about the judgment day, in the day when God shall judge. It's God's judgment. When God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to what, Paul? According to my gospel, Romans 2, 16. One more point. When you see Jesus, do you see Him as the Christ? Do you? The Bible affirms that He is. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, the Bible says, when they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember what they responded? Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. You're one of the prophets. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? I ask you tonight, in light of all the things that we've talked about, when you see Jesus, who do you say that He is? Peter, again, confessed, thou art the Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that is the truth that he confessed, I will build my church. That's the church, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to be a member of. That's the kingdom that then cometh in. He will have laid down all power and rule and deliver up the kingdom to the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. If we're not in that kingdom, we will not be delivered up to the Father. Do you see Him as the Christ? When Peter preached to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, took them through the history, right? He said, therefore, in conclusion, in other words, of all that He taught them, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Have you obeyed it? We've talked about this evening, through the eye of faith, when we see Jesus, who do we see? We better face it now, or we'll face it in a very sad reality come the judgment day. Because Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, He cometh with clouds. Now watch this. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. You'll see Him face to face then. But if we don't obey, it'll be too late. I ask you tonight, have you obeyed Him? You become a Christian by doing what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Repenting of your sins, Acts 17 and in verse 30, confessing your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. And by being immersed, buried in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, to rise to walk in newness of life, He'll add you to the church of Christ that you